Okay, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Yisai. I thought tonight maybe to deviate and perhaps just talk about Lag BaOmer a little bit, try to connect to it, especially since it's Mamish a day of Rav HaNistar Al HaNigla. It's like very obscure. If we were Chassidim or Sfardim, we would probably have a better handle on the day. But as Litvisher, we're a little bit kind of left out of things, it seems. The Rama, especially, it seems that there's like two themes going on also, right? What we know just from Shulchan Aruch is the Rama says the Simcha is over the fact that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying on this day. The big Simcha that's made out of Lag BaOmer seems to much more be focused on the Simcha of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So, again, let's just try to connect to it on a basic level. Try to suggest something. That can perhaps connect us to some of the significance of the day. We'll leave aside for the moment the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai aspect, understanding that it's above our heads. By the way, I did make a point of opening up Kaf HaChaim. Kaf HaChaim is a Sfaradi counterpart of the Mishnah Berurah. He was a contemporary of the Mishnah Berurah, but he actually quotes him. It's Rebbe Yaakov Chaim Sofer. And there you have, if you're looking for more of the sources of Pi Kabbalah, there you have Mamish, an authoritative resource, solid, concrete, Mishnah Berurah caliber, if we're making comparisons. And there he elaborates, if anybody's interested, just to see a little bit more on the very solid sources about the great Simcha of Lag BaOmer on account of the Simcha of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. But we'll set that aside for the moment. I would just say in a general way, that as far as we're concerned, we can connect to the fact that the Simcha, for us, on our simple level, it might simply be the fact that we were Zoicha, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, again, in a very, very simple way, connected us to the understanding through the Zohar, through the Kabbalah that followed, connected us to the understanding that we are operating with something much, much bigger than we can imagine, and that we are actually something much, much bigger than we can imagine. Now, all of Yiddishkeit is not in the simple material box, but we're dealing with much, much bigger things. We are much, much bigger things. And anything that you'll hear in that realm is coming from that direction. And it's a simcha that we were exposed to this. But let's get back to the Rama. Simcha over the fact that the Talmidim of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai stopped dying. The question on that is obvious, right? Everybody should ask the question. What does that mean? The simcha that they stopped dying. The last of them died, and therefore there was nobody left to die, and therefore they're happy that, okay, they stopped dying. Right? Out of the 24,000, it came down to 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ah, Baruch Hashem, nobody's dying anymore. What's going on? The Mefarshim already, the Poskim already discussed this, and there are the Poskim who tweak it, and they say, it's not out the fact that they stopped dying. It's the fact that he then discovered the 5 Talmidim Shabbadorim and was able to reinstate the Maseiris that way. Perhaps we can suggest something. Perhaps we can suggest something to kind of bring the two together. And that is that, yes, there is a certain, especially since the Simcha, the Lashon of the Rama is that Mar Bim Bay Simcha Ktsas. Mar Bim Bay Simcha Ktsas. We have a little bit of simcha. We add a little bit of simcha to that there. It's possible that there's a certain solemn, sober simcha, which is kind of bittersweet, in the following. In my mind, I approach it in the following way. When I was working on Yerushalmi in Art Scroll, so in Yerushalmi, any resources that you can find is very valuable. You don't have, it's like in Bavli, Lemaisa, you have such a plethora of Mefarshim, Baruch Hashem, there's always room to go weiter and weiter, but everything's going to be covered. In Yerushalmi, you're always on the lookout for more sources, for more resources. And one time we had an interesting experience where when we were doing Yevamos, I found a sefer, you've heard this from me, I found a sefer called Cheshek Shleimer, which seemed to be a very, very solid, comprehensive Perush on Yerushalmi Yevamos. Very clear. So I shared it with the rest of the Olam, and I said, has anybody, usually, you know about, between the team, you know what's out there, has anybody come across this sefer? So one of the more knowledgeable people on the staff wrote back to me, this sefer should be accorded the same respect as the famous Yerushalmi Kudshim, the forgery. You know the famous story of that, that was a forgery of Yerushalmi Kudshim? Said it's written by the same author. It's written by the same author. Okay, that certainly put a stop on it. We're not going to be using this, or so I thought was obvious. But then an interesting discussion developed as to, okay, Yerushalmi Kudshim was a forger. Fine. But this, the person was a genius. No question about that. And this was a Pelush that, okay, besides for the fact that in his very unique way, whenever there was a problem, you can find other manuscripts that supported other understandings. But there were many, very often there were very, very solid, good explanations offered. And the question is, can we use a sefer like that? And Lamaisa, the conclusion was, and this is what I felt very strongly, was that no, you can't use a sefer like that. Because Torah is not just an issue of the material. Torah has to come from a pure source. And when you know that Torah is coming from, now you'll ask me about Elisha ben Avuya. Let's put that aside for a moment. But Torah has to come from a pure source. And this is something that we'll elaborate on in Yetzer Hashem. And when you know that the source is not a kosher source, then even if the Torah is solid intellectually, it makes sense. This is not where we want to be getting our Torah from. What about Elisha ben Avuya? I don't know. I'm not going to get into that right now. What I might say is that Lamaisa, he had Reb Meir to serve as the conduit of Elisha ben Avuya's Torah. For us, we're getting Elisha ben Avuya's Torah from Reb Meir, who knew how to sift through it properly. But let's set that aside for a moment. If you note, it's something to note that Torah theoretically is an intellectual business. Pirushim on Torah, greatness in Torah, is an intellectual business. There are various areas in Ruchnius and Avodas Hashem in Torah. There's Midas, there's Yirat Shamayim, there's Tefillah, there's Halacha, there's Torah learning. And theoretically, it could have been. That you can have a person who's very, very great in Torah, and he's not a Yorei Shamayim. He is a, we might even say he's a problematic person, spiritually. And there were people like that. There were people who were big Torah scholars. I'm not using the word Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham has a very specific connotation, which we're getting to. But they were big, they were very well-versed, very scholarly, very learned in Torah. But note that in terms of the Sfarim that made it into the Beis Medrash, that then became used by Klal Yisrael throughout the generations, we did not have phenomena, even though, again, there were plenty of people out there who were not kosher, however we'll define that. We're not going to get into exactly how we're going to define that right now. There are plenty of people there who are not kosher, but had what to say about Torah. Isn't Mechal Leish Shabbos? But we're meant to understand that Torah is a matter of live tradition. Torah is not a matter of, well, the material is there, even though when we say Torah Monachas Bekeren Zavis Chal Reitz Elito Yavon Yito, that's in terms of who qualifies for making yourself a Torah student. You don't have to be a Kohen. You don't have to be of any kind of lineage. You don't have to have any kind of background. In that sense, Torah is available for all. But on the other hand, we have to understand that Torah is set up such that it's a live transmission. That's why initially the halacha was that Dvarim She Baal Peh, Yat Torah Shalemra Miksav, right? We know it went in both directions. Torah Shemiksav could not be transmitted Baal Peh. That has its halachic implications today too. But also the other direction. Torah Shebaal Peh was not to be committed to writing. We know that that was the initial halacha. We're all familiar with the Gemara that it reached the point that if we were not going to commit Torah Shebaal Peh to writing, we would lose it. I think about it today. If all the shots still meant to be transmitted orally, forget about it, right? And therefore, Chazal took what was considered a drastic step in saying, okay, we have to commit it to writing. But let's understand the concept. The idea was that Hashem wanted Torah to be a live tradition that's being handed over from generation to generation in a live way. We still have certain aspects of that today. We still have certain aspects of that today, but we lost a lot of it. But the fact remains that, yeah, we still want to be in a position of being connected to those who are connected to those who are connected to those who are transmitting the Torah in a way that faithfully represents it, faithfully represents the way Hashem wanted it to be transmitted. And the way Chazal put that is, Kimalach Hashem Tzvokesu, Imarav Doim Elamalach Hashem Yivakshu Torah Mipiyu. Hashem wants you to be finding a Rebbe who is Doim Elamalach Hashem. A very, very strong statement. And of course, there's Yiridas Hadeiros, and the generations deteriorate, and people are not going to be as great as they were in previous generations. But the idea is that the person that you are receiving your Torah from Sinai from should be a person who gives it over not only in terms of material, but gives it over in terms of personality. This is a person that you want to study not just his material, but also the example that he's providing. You want to be able to study his ways, because this is the person who for you represents Torah Misinai. Talmidei Rabbi Akiva were very, very great people. Let's not make any mistake about that. But it was apparently, again, we're taught these things because we're meant to learn them on our level while appreciating the fact that we are dealing with things that are way over our head. But there was a certain chisar, and Hashem says, wait, this does not reflect the way I want the Torah to be given over. There has to be a conscientiousness in all areas. Has to be a conscientiousness in all areas. I'm not talking about a person today is not going to be the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim is not going to be the Gaon Mivilna, etc., etc. But where you can see a picture of a person who is striving for shleimus in all areas. And if you have a person who's going to be a Rebbe, but his whole attitude toward davening is, or his attitude toward Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is just, that's not my thing. This is not a person that you want to be getting a Mesera in Torah at all. So the very solemn and sober lesson of the story of the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva was that he had a yeshiva of 24,000 strong. But Hashem said, this is not going to do. Rabbi Akiva was a very, very fundamental link in the transmission of Torah from Sinai to us. And Hashem was saying, this is not going to do in terms of the way I want Klal Yisrael to be Mekabel Torah. Better to boil it down to distill it, to a yeshiva of five. But those five are going to really reflect what Torah looks like live. What Torah looks like live. Now again, we have to keep reiterating this. Those other 24,000 also look like Torah live. But nevertheless, the point that the sober, that the solemn point that's being conveyed here is Torah. Part of the Hashgacha, the same way we know that Hashgacha, right, this is actually what it says over the Kever of Abshim Bayachai, Ki lo yisishochach mipi zaroi, right? That the Torah will not be forgotten from Klal Yisrael, that the Hashgacha will see to that. Part of the Hashgacha is that the transmission will happen correctly. And therefore, there's a certain simcha, it's a bittersweet simcha, but there's a certain simcha in the fact that we're seeing Hashem saying, I'm going to ensure the quality of Torah that's going to go from generation to generation. I'm going to ensure the quality, the pristineness of the way it's going to reach you. It was a sad manifestation of that. But dafka in the context of the Sfira, which is leading up to Matan Torah, we want to appreciate this point. We want to appreciate this point that the Torah that we have today is not books. It is something that Hashem moved from generation through generation through the right conduits. We have to realize that we have behind us a very rich history of those figures that serve as our reflections of what Torah is. And this is all part of Hashem's care for us, that we should have the Torah that He wants us to have. So again, this is a suggestion that perhaps this is a certain sober element of the Simcha of Lag BaOmer. Leading up to Shavuos, it's a Simcha in the Hashgacha, guiding the transmission of Torah from Har Sinai to us live, through people who reflect for us what Torah is supposed to look like live. And everything about them, not just in their shiurim, not just in the material that they're giving over, but in everything about them. And this is why Hashem is telling us, I'd rather the five top quality representatives of Torah, there'll be a better way of transmitting it than 24,000 who don't truly reflect the standards of Ben Adachaberoi that Torah should. If this is really included in the Simcha Vlag Boimer, I can't tell you. It's a suggestion, it's a guess. But the point is true nevertheless. And this is something Taka to consider in the context of preparing for Kabbalah Satayr. No, let's be zeichet to actually live up to that standard of really reflecting the Torah comprehensively in the way that Hashem intended. Afreilichen Lag Boimer. Okay. Welcome to you.